in different cultures that involve a benevolent, good, fatherly figure who gives gifts. It's actually a rather common legend or story that goes through all kinds of different cultures, different countries. I mean, always the different forms, but the base of it is some fatherly guy who's a really good person who likes to give gifts to people. And that's kind of where Father Christmas really started. The English in Europe, it kind of started there. The version that we know in the 1500s, this personification of the whole idea of giving and Christmas, and this figure started around in the 1500s, and then it slowly started to develop kind of in the 1600s is where the real personification of Father Christmas came about. So it was this guy who gave and gave presents and a gift, and he was a good person, hearty laugh. I mean, you know, all of these stereotypical things that we think about when we think about Father Christmas. Then as time went on, you know, these stories, they start morphing. And so the real understanding of Father Christmas as we know about it today, kind of around in the 1800s, started really developing. And then, of course, America comes along with Santa Claus. And then those two kind of merge kind of in the mid-1800s. So you have this story of Santa Claus and Father Christmas, which used to be different. They used to be separate. They weren't the same guy. And but then they kind of start merging. And kind of around in the 1900s, early 1900s or so, is when all of a sudden Father Christmas and Santa Claus are the same thing. So you had this whole story of who he is, where he came from, and all of that, which started completely different. But as, you know, time changes and stories change, there's this changing and personification of who he is to what we have today. We have Santa Claus, who's also known as Father Christmas. And most people see those as synonymous. It's the same thing. You say Father Christmas or Santa Claus, same guy, same place, right? So it's interesting to me, though, that the stories of this good, good God, or good, good person trying to share gifts and give gifts. And when I think about culture, when I think about what's happening, there's two ways you can look at your engagement with Scripture. And my way, the way I do it, is I don't judge the Scriptures, the Word of God, and I don't judge God by circumstances or by culture or by what's happening around me. I judge what's happening around me in culture by Scripture. So I take my truth, my foundation, my rock for me, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, God the Father, and then I look at what's going on around here, and that's the filter I run it through, not the other way around. And it's interesting to me, I see these stories as kind of a way of culture kind of filtering some of the Word or some of the truth that's in the Word of God into culture, into different stories, and they morph into different things, like Father Christmas. Now, I'm not going to, like, make a stand on that Father Christmas is all, you know, came from the Bible, but that story did really come from the Bible, a benevolent, good, good person giving gifts. So if we want to look at the ultimate or the real or the original Father Christmas, we need to look at Scripture, because God the Father is something that you don't talk about a ton at Christmas time. You know, it's always about baby Jesus and wise men and, you know, prophecies and all kinds of things. But God the Father is the one who initiated Christmas. He's the one who started it. God the Father, it was his plan, and everything that went on at Christmas time, he initiated it. He started it. So he is the original Father Christmas. I'd like to look at a scripture today, James 1:16-18. It says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth," some translations say rebirth, "through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." So you have this definition or this description of the first Father Christmas. It is someone who is good, and he's talking about this giving of good gifts, and this bearing and this continual benevolence. And that's, for me, the original Father Christmas. And when I think about Christmas, you know, I have all kinds of different memories. I have all kinds of different feelings, emotions, ups and downs. I really like Christmas time. I like all of it. I like the season. I like how, in general, except for maybe Black Friday and a few other big shopping days, people are relatively nice-ish. But there is kind of an openness during the holidays. And there's an anticipation, especially amongst Christians, of this arrival of Jesus Christ. But like Trevor read this morning, not only that, but there's this remembrance of why he came. He came to set us free and that he's going to come back again. So it's a season that's supposed to be filled with hope and peace. And I feel like, you know, we kind of turn that way and it just kind of illuminates it more. The downside is that culture, once again, with advertisements and just everything else, just kind of comes at us with so much message, so much stuff that we can get sucked in to a way of thinking and a way of handling Christmas that's just actually pretty selfish and pretty, and once it's all over, you feel like you're hungover. I don't know how many of you guys feel like that, but like a couple days after Christmas, or if you're in Canada, the day after is Boxing Day, you're just kind of like, oh, what just happened? It's like, wow. You know, we put expectations on ourselves and the pressure cooker can start building up. And it's like we want the Pinterest Christmas and we want everything to be perfect. And then all of a sudden reality hits and we get together with people who don't necessarily like each other, but they want to be together because there's other relationships involved. And so it gets complicated. It gets weird. It gets awkward. And people yell and scream and holler sometimes. And then we have some moments of joy and, you know, I mean, it's like this mixed bag and it can be a really crazy time. So what we need to do is really think about who and what Christmas is all about. That's what we're talking about. And where it initiated is with Father Christmas, with this really, really, really good, good God, God the Father. And we understand that every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. So that's the first thing we need to understand about this God the Father, is that when it says the Father of heavenly lights, it's talking about the Father of creation. God made everything. God the Father created it all. By him, it was all created. He started it all. And so he is not only the Father of Christmas, and he's not only God our Father, but he made it all. That's the context of the Father of the heavenly lights. It's not like some strange, bizarre thing where, you know, doesn't involve crystals and, you know, looking at stars and astrology or anything like that. It's about God who created everything. And what I really like is that it says every good and perfect gift. God is the source of all goodness. So God the Father is the source of all goodness. And those things give me hope. Okay, so God created it all. He is it. He's the big picture. He is the God. He is God the Father, and he is good. And I just really encourage you, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but as you go through your life, one of the things you really need to hang on to is the fact that God is good. God the Father is good. He is the ultimate gift giver. He is the ultimate source of goodness. Satan's been trying to attack that since the very beginning. So you have Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. Satan comes along and he starts kind of manipulating and working them. And he's basically tells them, you know, God's kind of withholding. You know, he told you not to touch the tree, but he knows if you do, then you'll really know, you know, you'll become like him. So God's not really that good. He's not benevolent. He's not a giver. He's not generous. He's kind of holding back from you the real good stuff. When in reality, God had given them absolute freedom. They could go anywhere, do anything of the entire garden. There's this huge garden. There's just one thing he told them not to do. One thing. And so if we start allowing that thought that maybe God's withholding, maybe he's not good. How can God be good? You know, and I'm not saying that we can't question that, but it's something that you need to wrestle with and you need to come up with an answer with. Because God is good. He is really good. And that's what gives us hope during this season. Even though it can just be absolute chaos with extended family and immediate family and the pressures and work and everything we got to do and our culture spooling up. In the midst of all of that, God is good. He really is. And we need to remember that. And that helps us stay focused. That helps us understand that this season is about more than just you know, the gifts and the glitz. It's about worshiping a good, good God. It's about a plan that God the Father, that Father Christmas initiated by sending his Son. So God the Father is good. We need to know that. We need to remember that. The other thing is we need to remember that God is the ultimate gift giver. God the Father is incredibly generous. And he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. Just give you a few examples. This one is in Ecclesiastes 5:19. I really like this one. It says, moreover, when God gives a man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy with his work, this is a gift from God. Everything you have, your abilities to produce and to earn an income is a gift from God. And then on top of that, if we understand that God is good, he gives us the ability to actually enjoy it. When we have a relationship with him, when we're engaged with God the Father, he gives us the ability to enjoy what we have and be content. That is a gift. That is spectacular. To be able to be happy with what you have and enjoy it, whether it's a lot or a little. And then understand that everything he gave you, including your abilities, your personality, everything that you are, is a gift from God. That's pretty cool. God is a giver. He's creative and generous beyond compare. I think that's awesome. 1 Corinthians 15:56-57 says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. God gives us the victory. So there's this sin and death and the negative and the fall and the sin and everything that's part of our culture, or not culture, part of our world and part of humanity. He gives us victory over that. We have an ability to walk in victory over sin and death because of what Jesus Christ did. And that was a gift from God the Father. That is awesome. That is awesome. Sin does not have to own us. It doesn't. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So if you feel like you just don't know what's going on in a situation, ask God. Ask for help. Engage with him. He wants us to come after him, and he says he will give generously. He will give you wisdom. He will teach you how to live life in a way that's healthy and whole, in a way that, you know, to be content, to be loving, to be gracious, to be merciful. That's awesome. That's a gift from God. I'll take that. I'll take all the wisdom I can get. And he doesn't find fault. He's not looking and saying, well, yeah, you're kind of a screw up. I'm not going to give you wisdom today. He's saying, ask, and I'll give generously. That's a good God gift promise. I don't even know if that sentence made sense, but I liked it. Luke 11:13 says, if you then, this is talking about, right before this, he talks about how a father, an earthly father, will give gifts to his kids. And, you know, in general, they want to bless their kids. Not always the case. But he kind of clarifies that and acknowledges that reality here. He says, if you then, though you are evil, so even though as a father, you know, whatever your father was, however he was, good, bad, or ugly, maybe once in a while he gave you some good stuff or did something good. But if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. Ask him for it. Now, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We just went through the whole Creed series, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he will give you the Holy Spirit to empower you to live life on a daily basis. And I know a lot of times, you know, in the charismatic movement, there's different movements that, you know, our church has been through. And, you know, we're not afraid of the spiritual gifts by any means. But there were times where people just started seeking those really high-end spiritual gifts. You know, they would see it that way. You know, I want to prophesy, and I want to speak in tongues, and I want to interpret, and I want to do all this and do all that. And the problem is we started seeking the gifts instead of the giver. That's not what God wants. He wants us to seek him. But he will give you power to live. And another thing to me, I have sat with people. I've seen people prophesy, which is really cool. You know, someone stands up and they look at someone and they look him in the eyes and then they say something, some words of God directly to that person. And they're powerful and they're impacting and they speak something into that person that's just amazing. Maybe about some opportunities in the future or whatever it is. That's really cool. But you know what's more cool to me? Is when I sit with somebody who has such a rage and a hatred for their mother that they can't even say their name. And we pray together and we spend 15, 20 minutes and he's trying to forgive his mom and he's like, And at that moment, it's a really big F word for him that he just can't get out of his mouth. He can't say it. And then he asks God to give him the power of the Holy Spirit to enable him to forgive. And he says it. And there's a tangible change in the room. There's this lightness that comes over him. There's something that breaks in him. That's a gift from God. God gave him in that moment the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to release his mom and forgive his mom. And years of bondage to that is gone in an instant. That's a gift, and that's awesome. That's your God. That's God the Father. Those are the things he wants to give you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to me. You know, speaking in tongues and prophesying and healing, and I mean, that's also very awesome. You know, raising someone from the dead, that would be pretty cool. Although I was telling someone this morning, there was a guy I know, his mother-in-law, or his mom, excuse me, she actually had a heart attack in church, and she was flatlined for about 3 or 4 minutes. And there was a nurse and a doctor in the room, and they brought her back. And she was ticked. She was. It's kind of funny in a weird way, but she's well into her 70s, and she had maybe even 80s, she had a do not resuscitate order at the hospital. Because she's had physical, you know, she's like, I'm done. And so, you know, and there, she's like, okay, I told them at the hospital not to revive me. You know, why did you hear? And the son's like, because it's a church. You know, you don't just kind of lay her on the pew and then, you know, all right, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know. But, I don't know. The power of the Holy Spirit to change our lives is a gift. The gift of grace, the gift of humility, the gift of on and on of being merciful. I've never been, the gift of mercy to me is a huge thing because years ago I took these spiritual gift tests, you know. This is when I was in my 20s. And my two lowest gifts, so like, you know, you score gifts, you get points. So like a high gift for me was probably I scored like 30 points. So that, you know, my top few gifts were like pastoral leadership type gifts. My bottom two where I scored like 2 points each, which is like way down there, were celibacy. And I have 6 kids, so that makes sense. But right on the same line was mercy. So that wasn't so good. You know, I was thanking the Lord for not having a celibacy gift. But mercy was something I just didn't have. I just didn't get it. I didn't, you know, I'm just like, suck it up, buttercup. But through the gift of the Holy Spirit and God working in my life, being able to empathize and walk with people and be merciful and forgive and to understand and try to enter in to their hurt and walk with them. Ah, it's a beautiful gift. Beautiful gift. See? Bing! That's an emphasized point. God is good. He is the ultimate giver. And he gave the preeminent gift. I like that word preeminent because it's like in our culture we use words like awesome and cool and wonderful and spectacular. I mean, that describes everything. But preeminent, and yes, I did have to look it up. I kind of knew what it meant, but I wanted to know the exact definition. But it's surpassing all others. There's something about this gift that goes beyond anything. And we read that in the James scripture that we just read. He chose to give us birth or rebirth through the word of truth. He gave us a gift that surpasses all others. And that's salvation. John 3:16 says it this way. This is Father Christmas. This is Father Christmas's generosity. John 3:16, for God God the Father so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That is the preeminent gift. He initiated Christmas. God the Father gave his Son so that we could be set free, so that we could be alive, that we could be alive forevermore, that we can live life abundantly here and now, that we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can forgive people, we can receive healing and wholeness, and we can walk through the fire and yet not be burned. Doesn't mean that life's all going to be, you know, a piece of cake. But God gives and gives and gives. And that's awesome. That's what the season's all about. It's about giving and honoring God for the gift that he ultimately gave of Jesus Christ, who ultimately gave his life so that we can have eternal life. Another awesome thing we need to understand about the Father, he's good. He's the ultimate gift giver. But he doesn't change. Once again, in this James scripture, talking about the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Some of the versions say he does not cast any shadows, meaning in him there is no darkness. In him there is just light. There is goodness. God is good. It's who he is. It's his character. It's his nature. He can't violate that. God is good. He doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind in the sense of, or change who he is. He's always good. He's always generous. He's always for you. He's always pursuing you. He's always wanting to give you good gifts. One of the things we can't grasp about that, though, is we can't understand how God's goodness, how God's grace, how God's love, how God's mercy, and how God's justice all work together. That's where it gets really complicated. How does his justice fit into all of the evil and the stuff we see going on around us and the devastation? How does his mercy fit into that? You know, I could not even begin to give you a solid answer. But I will say that God is good. He doesn't change. It's who he is. God is good. That's awesome. That gives me hope. That gives me life. In the midst of things that are difficult and challenging, I remember that God is good. And he wants to give to you generously. So what do we do with that? Well, I just encourage you this season, I already said a little bit, don't get sucked in. Don't do it. Don't allow our culture to dictate the level of stress and pressure that's going to infiltrate your Christmas season. Don't do it. Fight it. Push back. The beginning of that scripture, James says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. And then he goes on to talk about God the Father and his generosity. But when he says don't be deceived, he's basically saying, remember this. What I'm about to say is really important. And the scriptures before that, he was talking about being led away by our own evil desires. And when those desires manifest themselves, they bring sin. And then when sin fully manifests itself, it brings death. So he's kind of this negative, you know, and he's basically saying we get tempted by our own desires. But he's saying, don't be deceived. Let me tell you what you need to focus on. Let me tell you what the reality is, not just of this Christmas season, but of life. God is good. He's for you. He loves you. That's awesome. I really like that. God is the ultimate gift giver. Don't be deceived. Part of that is really, once again, focusing on the goodness of God and his generosity and allowing that to change you. One of the examples that I have of not doing that, when I was about 14, we were living in this little town in Canada called Tabor. And it was just me and my brother and my dad. And my oldest brother was somewhere. I don't remember where he was. But he had moved out. He moved out when he was about 14. And anyway, so he was out somewhere. And I just really had a good connection with him. And I would talk to him before Christmas. And he knew that we had several Christmases, a lot of Christmases in there, where we didn't get anything. I mean, Christmas, like no trees, nothing. I mean, there was no presents, nothing. The only way we'd get a Christmas meal was from, you know, like the food bank. And, you know, a note on that. Don't ever give perishable foods to a food bank. we would get perishable foods, and it was like, they bring in this box of food, they put it down, and like, it's rotten. You're like, oh, that's awesome. Anyways, side note. But so this one Christmas, and I don't know if I was bummed or whatnot, but it came up with my brother. We were talking about that, and he told me he had bought me something, and he was going to send it. And I tell you what, as a 14-year-old boy, knowing that that's the only present, I was so excited. I'm like, this is freaking awesome. My brother's going to send me a Christmas present. And I can't remember how long it was. To me, it felt like 14 years. But it took forever for it to finally to arrive. He was going to mail it. And when I got it, I opened the package and I saw that. Are you going to put that picture up? I actually found that on eBay. That's actually a picture of it. It's a little poster. It was a cardboard, and it said that. Because at the time, I was a real computer nut. I really liked computers, so I was like hacking on like an Apple IIe. If any of you guys remember what that is, yeah, sweet. I mean, major hacking going on in this Apple IIe. So he really knew I liked computers. So he sent me this, which he thought was kind of funny. And, you know, and I understand. And I'm looking at that going, that's it? I was like, lame. You know, I mean, I was just all about the gift. I completely missed the fact that I know that now. You know, I look back now, and actually this actual gift and this one thing is one of the ways that God kind of healed my heart as far as understanding generosity and being grateful. But he reminds me of this story about how I acted then. And now I know, you know, my brother, he knew me enough to know, you know, what I was about. He knew that I liked computers. And so he went out of his way, got something, mailed it, you know, I mean, old school, you know, sending it out. And at the time, I just cared about the gift. I completely missed, you know, because of my mercy and empathy, you know, right there with celibacy. I completely missed the gesture of love that my brother was sending to me. Completely. And so now, when I get kind of a little bit like that, I remember this and how I felt. And it just makes me cringe. But then I remember God's generosity and his love for me. And how he, even though I was a dirtbag, drinking Jack Daniels like, you know, it was water, totally disregarding who he was, he still sent me a gift. And it just blows my mind. It's like, God is so good. So in this Christmas season, don't get sucked in. Remember that God is good. Be generous. You know, give. Be wise in your, you know, don't rack up a bunch of credit card debt because Pastor John said be generous. Be wise, but be generous. And celebrate the giver of the gifts. And I know, you know, as a 14-year-old boy, you know, it's just kind of where I was at, you know. I wasn't saved and was still struggling with all that. But it was a good lesson for me even now just to see that contrast and knowing that there was someone who cared, you know. So in this season, don't get sucked in. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand up.